Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. American air attacks on Middle East targets scored a big get last night. A man who has been arming an organization working with Al-Qaeda.
A senior U.S. defense official confirmed to Fox News that David Drujan was killed, the target of the airstrikes in Syria last night, a 24-year-old French bomb maker who converted to Islam after his parents divorced when he was 14 years old. Drujan was a member of the Khorasan Group, an elite group of Al-Qaeda fighters and bomb makers who migrated to Syria from bases in Pakistan. U.S. warplanes carried out the strikes using B-1 bombers, F-16 fighters, and an MQ-9 Reaper drone.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon. Against a recent tide of rulings in favor of same-sex marriages comes today's decision that allows four states to ban them, the federal appeals court ruling applying to Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Michigan. It was an attack 5 years ago on a military base in Afghanistan full of Americans and Afghans. A Russian Army officer suspected in the attack will be back in federal court tomorrow in Virginia to face terrorism charges, the first foreign prisoner to be brought to America after being held in Afghanistan.
Fox News is told that the case of 55-year-old Irik Ilgiz Hamdulin is a test run for whether detainees held in Afghanistan can be successfully tried in federal court because the White House is unwilling to send new detainees to Guantanamo Bay for military trials. Fox News is told that over the last year, the administration has released some detainees, more than a handful in Afghanistan, because there was not enough admissible evidence to bring them to a U.S. federal court, and Guantanamo was simply not an option for the Obama administration.
Fox's Catherine Herridge in Washington. An immigration activist who hid out at an Oregon church this fall has been arrested. El Salvador native Francisco Aguirre is accused of illegal reentry into America. He was deported after a drug conviction 14 years ago. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
After the Republican election victories Tuesday, President Obama will meet at a White House lunch tomorrow with incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker John Boehner. One topic likely to come up, immigration, with Boehner warning the president should not reform it on his own.
I've made clear to the president that if he acts unilaterally on his own, outside of his authority, he will poison the well, and there will be no chance for immigration reform moving in this Congress. It's as simple as that.
Still, Press Secretary Josh Earnest promised the president will do it.
The question that the president has before him is, should he take executive action that he believes would be good for the country? Is the president going to take that action? And the answer is yes, the president is going to take that action.
Boehner also promised votes to repeal Mr. Obama's signature health care law.
Fox's Mike Emanuel at the Capitol. Still no formal call of victory in Virginia for Democratic Senator Mark Warner, but he says he's confident his 16,000-vote lead over Republican Ed Gillespie will hold up. You may not recognize the name of an inventor who just died, but you are familiar with the most famous product.
If you've ever had a casserole, you know his invention.
Corningware goes.
Stanley Donald Stuckey, who got his Ph.D. in physical chemistry from MIT, discovering glass ceramics, what became the still popular product Corningware, purely by accident in 1952 when he was heating some glass and the oven malfunctioned. Cooks loved being able to bake and serve and freeze food in the same super strong dish. The military used it in guided missile nose cones. Stuckey, who held more than 60 patents and received a National Medal of Technology from President Reagan, was 99. Jay Nutzler, Fox News Radio.
Gasoline went down another 8/10 of a cent a gallon today. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Well, good evening, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. It is great to have you with us. We've got a great show for you today. In the second half of the show, we will be talking about the Republican victory in the Senate, and finally, maybe we can get some things done. And just some breaking news real quick. They released the name of the person that actually shot bin Laden on the team, and his name is Robert O'Neill. And he is doing some interviews, and that is the guy that actually killed Osama bin Laden. So that is actually breaking news just coming out. Robert O'Neill, it was actually released last night, but I haven't done a show since then, but wanted to let you know that. But on the line, I am pleased to have this person. He is a great friend of the show, great guy, great friend of mine, just a great all-around person. He actually is got a project going right now called the McCutcheon Project, and it's actually to not vote for career politicians. You've heard him on this show before. We've talked about the McCutcheon Project a little bit, and you've also saw him on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. It is a very funny piece he did on there. Why don't you Google his name and then type in The Daily Show, and it will pop up for you. But I am proud to welcome Joe McCutcheon. He's on the Newsmaker line. Welcome to the show.
Aaron, it's a great honor to be on your show. I think you're going to be I think you're the young Sean Hannity. I think you're the future Sean Hannity. You got a lot of vision. You're obviously a very good leader, and we want to get you nationally syndicated in the near future.
Well, you know, hey, I appreciate that. But you know, you've got something going on too. You're leading a big project. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Okay. Well, what it is, Aaron, you know, we've got an $18 trillion national debt. And they had Ted Cruz on there. Of course, Cruz is a guy I like to see President of the United States. They had Cruz on national television the other day, and they asked Senator Cruz, they said, what's the biggest problem facing America today? And he said it's career politicians from both parties. You know, you've got to wake up the taxpayers, and I'm trying to Paul Revere them not to vote for career politicians, because that's in the Republicans and the Democrats in Washington. I think the Democrats are more responsible, but the Republicans have voted for a lot of excessive spending also. So what I'm doing is just trying to revere the taxpayers, wake them up, and say, look, before you vote for somebody, if they've been in office for, well, you know, I'd say the same office like in Congress for more than 8 years, and they're still wanting to run for re-election, unless you're positive that they're putting the taxpayers first, don't vote for them. Vote for someone new, just like David Perdue. I think David's going to be, I'd vote for him for president. I knew Romney real well. I was a myth a lot, and personally, and I was with David an hour and a half, just two of us. And I tell you what, this guy, the American taxpayers are really going to be lucky. This Perdue is, I think he could be the next Ronald Reagan. He may be a little too old to run for president, but he's got it. He's extremely intelligent, and of course he's not a career politician. Another one is Barry Loudermilk. Now Barry served in the Senate for 6 years, I think, or 4 years, in the House, but then he ran for Congress. So I don't really count it. If you serve, for example, let's take Tom Graves. Tom's been up there 4 years. I don't consider him a politician. Now, if he's there another 4 to 6 years, I would say, Tom, you need to run for the Senate. And I wouldn't be surprised to see. Go ahead.
Well, would that equate in the United States Senate? Would you equate that to maybe two terms, like 12 years, since it's both 6-year terms?
Yeah, 12 years. I really think. And that's something I think the Republicans need to do with, since they've taken over the Senate, and, of course, they have the House. I'd say a Senate if you're, you should serve no more than two terms. Like I think David Perdue, 12 years. Let him serve this term and another term, and then who knows, he may run for president. But and it's Congress same way, 6 2-year terms. I think 12 years is long enough for anybody to serve in any capacity. Of course, you got people up there now that have been there for, you know, forever. They've been there, you know, 30, 40 years, a lot of them. And that's, and the longer you stay there, I think the more you do not put the taxpayers first. So that's
well,
what I'm trying to do. Go ahead.
Well, you've become a product of your environment up there. You're so up there so long. You become, you know, cold to your constituents. You know, you just become part of that environment. You become not, I wouldn't say the word corrupt, but you know, you're just you're in it for your own self. Then, you know, you really don't care about the people.
Well, and that's why we've got an $18 trillion debt. I mean, a lot of them talk conservative. You know, you ask a politician, are you conservative? Oh yes, I'm voting to do something about the deficit. And that's another thing. You need to check the voting record. A lot of them tell you they're conservative, and then you check their record and you find they're voting for more spending. So really, I guess what I'm trying to do is inform the voters, wake up before you vote for somebody. If somebody tells you they're conservative, you need to check their voting record. And if you do, a lot of times you'll find that they're not very conservative. And personally, I feel I like Mitch McConnell. I like John Boehner. But my goodness, Aaron, they've been there forever. Boehner's been there since 90, and McConnell, I think, since 76. I think we need new leaders. They've been there too long. I think they've capitulated, compromised, and caved too much with the Democrats. And so I think we need new leadership in the House and the Senate for the Republicans. And that's something that, you know, you probably get some interesting comments from your great listening audience about that. But I feel strongly that we need new blood in Washington. We need new blood in Atlanta. We just need new people. I mean, you know, I think you and I could go out on the streets of Atlanta and pick up 535 people that wouldn't vote for a $300 million bridge to Alaska, which most of our Republicans voted for that $300 million. How can you justify that, Aaron? How can anybody justify voting for a $300 million bridge to Alaska? They're nowhere.
Now, that's just like us running a business and then just taking money and just throwing it out there and not caring where it goes and not being responsible. And I mean, the same thing up there. You just can't do that with the taxpayers' money. I mean, that's my money. That's your money. That's all our listeners' money. And we hire them to go represent us and be fiscally responsible with what we're giving them. And they're showing the exact opposite.
Well, you're exactly right. And we've got to stop that. I mean, we've just got to say, quit voting for career politicians. Let's get some new blood up there. And that's why I think it's so great about Perdue. Perdue has a business background, been very successful. And there's another guy, I think his name is Ron Dames of Montana. He's been elected, and he's a business background. And when I met one-on-one with David, he said, Joe, we only got about 10 businessmen out of 100 in Washington. Now, I'm not against lawyers, but I think about 60 of the 100 are lawyers. And, you know, they haven't been in business. And I just think we need a – you know, it's fine to have some lawyers, but we need to have some business people up there, too, because they're trained. You know, I'm a businessman. You know, when I leave my office, I want to make sure the lights are cut off because Joe McCutcheon's got to pay the bill. I can't go to the taxpayers and say, pay my light bill, right, Aaron?
Well, it may be if you're in Congress, you could do that. My goodness.
That's right. See, it's just, and I tell you, the problem is most American people, you ask them who their congressman is, a lot of them don't know who the person is. And then if they do, you ask them how they're voting. Well, they tell me they're voting conservative. You need to check that record and make sure that they are voting conservative. And that's the good thing about somebody new. Most of the time, the new people, they get up there and they're fired up and energized. And they really want to do some good. But the longer you're there, I think you get that Washington men. You drink that Potomac, what I call you get Potomac fever. You drink that Potomac water. And the only cure, Aaron, for Potomac fever is to send them home.
Well,
a lot of other people have Potomac fever, and it's a terminal disease, and the only cure for that Potomac fever is send that guy home or a woman. They've been there too long, and they're drinking that Potomac water, and they're forgetting about Aaron McCready and Joe McCutcheon and what's good for the taxpayers.
Well, hopefully if they're drinking that Potomac water up there and they're doing that to us, they get a really good case of diarrhea, I hope. I mean, that's what they deserve.
Well, I tell you, I hope that that's what we got to do, though. We just got to wake up, Paul Revere, the taxpayers, wake them up. And that's why your show is so great. And of course, you know, the magnet, we need to get you national, and I can tell that you're an outstanding leader. You have a good vision. You know the issues, so I don't see any reason in the world why you can't. You're only 37. Why you can't become the next Sean Hannity? You have all that it takes, and I'm sure. I looked at your Facebook friends. You've got some very prominent people that are on your Facebook, and I think those people could, you know, we need to spread the word about you, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tell everybody that I've talked to, and I'm doing that, that you're a future national talk show host. Because I definitely think you are.
Well, I think we should pitch a show to Fox News. You know, Hannity used to have Hannity and Combs before he kicked Combs to the curb. I don't know if that's what he really did, but that's what I like to believe. But
I think we should have one. I don't know that, but I think that's what happened.
We should have one, McCutcheon and McCready.
I'll tell you a suggestion. Do you ever call in to C-SPAN?
No, but I probably should.
Well, I'll call you off the air, and I'll give you the guy that Steve Scully is one of the top guys there. I've been on there. I've been calling their network for 35 years. I've been on there live. In fact, when I was on, you mentioned the Daily Show. After I was on the Daily Show, Steve Scully, who pretty much runs the network, is one of the top people. He called me and did a live interview with me on C-SPAN about, you know, about Romney and about that. But they're a really great network. Of course, they televise the House and the Senate, and I've been calling it for 35 years, and I just think you could call in and just tell them. I've already told Steve Scully about you, and I've told Sean Hannity about you. I've got the information to call Hannity and C-SPAN, and it's just a matter of promoting. Promoting what you do is like today. I was with Ed Singleton. I know you're a big Georgia Bulldog family. Ed had dinner with Rick, and he came here with one Subway. Now he's got 17, and he's what I call a marketing genius. And boy, he's just really doing super. But he knows how to market. He's a marketing genius. And you seem to me like you're a great marketing guy. And you just need to get some of those people that we just need to talk it up all over the area. Now I'm sure you have an audience outside Atlanta, do you not?
I do, yeah. We've got people listening in Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, California, you name it.
Well, see that you already have a national. I wasn't aware of that. I just thought you went to Georgia. Well, see, you've already got a national show. What we need to do is just promote you, and I've been the number one caller to talk shows for 15 years in the country, and so I'm just going to, you know, when I get a chance, I'll talk about you on national television, then I'll call the producers and, you know, tell them. Fox used to take calls, and I was a big caller to Fox, but they stopped. You know, you got to have somebody. Well, you know, you have people calling in. You got to have somebody doing it, and, you know, they got to be pretty sharp, and you got to be careful who you have on. One time I asked the producer of one of these national networks, I said, why am I number one? He said, well, Joe, you got a good voice. You ask good questions, you do it briefly, and you do not use profanity. And so that's one reason that I've done tons of talk shows, and I can tell you have what it takes because I can never tell you how many I've called into, just tons of them. But I can tell that you have what it takes to can definitely do it, become a famous talk show host. Well, see, you're already a national. You're already going into, you know, I didn't realize that. So that's fantastic.
Well, you know, hey, and I don't know, you know, when you called in that day and we went around and around about Andrew Hunt and Nathan Deal, and I don't know if you, like, practiced hypnosis in your spare time or something, but you got me turned on to Andrew Hunt, and I turned. I more research I did about him and looked through him through a fresh pair of eyes, I guess. You know, it's a shame he didn't do as well as he did, but
it's awfully hard as a libertarian. You know, the Republicans, the Democrats, they've got the money, they've got the manpower. Like, I think I've worked in tons of political campaigns the last 50 years, and I tell you, David Perdue had the best run campaign I've ever been in. Boy, he's got smart people. He's got he really had a great network, and of course that goes back to his management skill. I just want to say on the air that I think Perdue is going to go up there with Cruz, and I think they're going to be the greatest team in American history. I have total confidence in Perdue. And then another one, have you ever had Barry Loudermilk on your show?
I haven't, but I had I did have Bob Barr when they were in the primary. He came on the show.
Okay, well, I'll call you off and give you Barry's phone number. You need to get him on. Barry's, I've had him on. I had a television show, and I still do specials on my television, but I had Barry on my television show a couple of times. He is really good. He's a constitutionalist. He's a businessman, fine person, and I would say that to the two stars from Georgia, in my opinion, in the next 46 years are going to be Loudermilk and David Perdue. And I think, and I'll do a little self-serving thing here. My nephew, Hunter Hill, is a state senator. He's on. He's your age, 37. And I suggest Hunter would be good on your show. He wants to eliminate the Georgia state income tax, and that's something we need to do. Tennessee, Texas, Florida, all of our competition is about zero. And here we are at 6%. So that's that needs to be done. We may not be able to eliminate it all, Aaron, but we need to start cutting that state income tax. And Hunter, my nephew, a state senator, that's one of the big things he wants to do. So people need to get behind Hunter and help him get that thing cut some. And
well, I had David Pennington on the other day, and that's exactly what he was saying. He was comparing Atlanta to Nashville, Tennessee, and how much growth Nashville is having and how little growth Atlanta's having, and then, you know, no income tax in Tennessee, and he went on, just first of all, David Pennington's a super smart guy. I mean, my goodness.
He's one of the, if you ask Joe McCutcheon, who's the number one taxpayer champion in Georgia and the smartest, I think Pennington knows more about job creation and the economy than anyone in Georgia, and you've already had him on your show, and he's well connected with the Carpi people up there. They love him, and David's making a speech tonight at the Lumpkin County Republican Party. And I tell you what, David Pennington, I'm gonna make a statement here. I said this on the internet. I think you and David Pennington, Aaron McCready and David Pennington, are going to be two of the big newsmakers in 2015. I think people, we're going to get the word out about you. And of course, I think you and Pennington and Perdue and Loudermilk, that's four. I'd say the four of y'all, and I think my nephew, Hunter Hill, I'm a little prejudiced there, but I think he's very good. You're age 37. But I think you're going to be the big newsmakers, and I want to encourage you to, you know, to talk to people, and we'll talk it up. And you know, you talk about things, you are what you think about. And by the way, there's some really good books that you could pass on to the audience. Steve Harvey, Act Like a Success, Think Like a Success. There's a John Maxwell book about Leaders Ask Great Questions, super book. And another one is Joel Osteen, We Win, You Win. I may have the title wrong, but I read all the self-help books I can to try to improve my leadership skill. And Maxwell says, and that's why I know you're a leader, leadership is influence. And the more people you have, and see, that's why your show's going to grow a lot, because your influence is going to gain. And the more people you influence, the better leader you are. You see what I mean? Doesn't that make sense?
Right. Oh, it does. Well, you know, I want to go back to David.
And see, we're going to put the word out. I went over to see Ed's thing. We call Ed the Subway King. And being a Georgia fan, Ed had dinner with Mark Rick, and Ed's one of the real movers and shakers in Georgia. And I went over to see him. He subscribes to my newsletter, and I said, Ed, I want to tell you about Aaron McCready. So we talked about you, and so I'm a tech guy, and Ed's a Georgia guy, so you've got the Taz Anderson was in the room with me at Georgia Tech. He's Mr. Georgia Tech, and he's a great guy. And so we're spreading the word about you to top people all over the, you know, all over the state, and frankly, all over the country. And leaders make it happen, Aaron. So what we want to do is we want to make it happen for you, where you become nationally syndicated. It may take a while, but I think you have the burning desire and drive to get there, right?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's like David Perdue said when. You know, during his acceptance speech, and he even said it on WSB when they were interviewing him, you know, after the fact, and you know, he said that he did not look for this at all. You know, he wasn't searching to run for Senate. That it really, really came to him, and so when it came to him, you know, he looked into it and felt the need to run. And it's kind of the same thing with me. You know, I'm not on here just to blow smoke or anything. I actually really believe the stuff I say, believe it or not. And same thing with David Perdue. You know, he was called. He didn't search for it. You know, so same thing with me.
Well, I'm already promoting you to David. I'm pretty close to him and his people, and they already know I'm promoting you. Well, everybody knows this. I work real hard for David, and they get all my posts when I write about you. So we're really gonna, you know, and I think you make it happen. And you're young. It's not like you've got a, you know, you've got it. You are 37. Am I correct?
Well, you're aging me a little bit, 36, but hey, 36, 37, who cares?
Well, see, you got plenty. If I remember this, Ronald Reagan ran for governor of California when he was 55. 14 years later, he became president. Kennedy ran for Congress at 29. 14 years later, he was president. Carter ran for the same. In 14 years, you can go from, I'm not saying you're obscure, you're already pretty well known, but you can go from being pretty obscure to being president of the United States in 14 years. There are a bunch of examples. Well, George Bush was, in 1966, he was elected to Congress. 14 years later, he was vice president of the United States. So there are a lot of these. Bill Clinton ran, I think, for attorney general of Colorado and, Arkansas in 76, and or 78, I'm sorry, 14 years later, he was president. So there are a lot of examples of people who, from the time they first run, or in your case, you've had a talk show for 2 years. I used to call Hannity back when he was in Atlanta, call him a lot and got to know him. I've been calling him a lot. But, you know, he started just like you. He was in Huntsville, then he went to Atlanta, and you know what happened, right?
Oh, yeah. Then he went.
You can do it. I mean, and you've got, I look at your Facebook friends, you've got a lot of prominent people, and you got to always remember people like David Perdue and Tom Gray. Tom's a good friend of mine. I was Tom when Tom ran for Congress. I was chairman of his campaign. These people need Aaron McCready because they need to, you know, you get on your show and you're talking to thousands of people. You know, you take, if I spoke to 200 people a week, that's 50 times 200, that's 10,000 people. I think you told me you had 50,000. I'm on your show. I'm talking to 50,000 people. And think of that. It's powerful. I mean, talk shows are the most powerful thing in the United States, and they can take you from relative obscurity to being the, well, just like Romney, I became pretty active in Romney's campaign. The next thing I knew, people were telling me, Joe, you're number one in the country. And Politico called me and said, you're number one. Washington Post did a story on me. And I didn't start out to be number one in Romney's the whole country, but I became that because I was fired up and energized. And so you can go from, where people don't know a lot about you to all of a sudden people know a lot about you. That's what's going to happen to you, Aaron. You're going to get there, my friend.
Well, but you said you talk about vision and everything. You know, when you did that with the Daily Show, I mean, my goodness, you had vision there because Romney was not very popular at all. I mean, Newt Gingrich had just won South Carolina, and that's when Herman Cain was doing very well too, and Romney was lagging behind. But you stayed a true supporter in what you believed, and look what happened with Romney.
Well, see what I did before that. What happened? Politico. Somehow somebody told him that I was the number one. Pro Politico, I was number one in the country. Well, the next thing I knew, Stewart's show called me and said, hey, you're number one in the country. We want to come down to LJ to interview you. They spent about 3 hours in my house interviewing me for a relatively small segment. And it was pretty, I had to, you saw it, it's, you got to think. You got to really be on your, you got to think. But anyway, that pretty much propelled me. I've been on Larry King Live. I've been on a lot of national shows before. As CNBC had me on in 95 as the number one caller in the country, and C-SPAN had me on in 2000 Live saying I was number one in the country, and I've been that way for 15 years. But, it's just like on your show. I'm totally relaxed. I'm just like you and I talking. It's just like you and I talking to each other instead of having thousands of people listen to us. And
You get used to
it. I mean, I can tell you, aren't you pretty relaxed? You sound like it.
Oh yeah, I am. It's funny because we were talking about maybe possibly me going into politics one day, and I just feel like we don't talk about, but Obama talks about he won the most transparent administration. Well, my goodness, I feel like I would have the most transparent because I feel like all these thousands of people are sitting in on a confidential campaign meeting with the both of us.
Well, and let me tell you, Aaron, believe me. You could run for political office. You've got name. Larry McDonald, who was playing with Sean down in Korea, he came up here. I had him speak to a bunch of people, and he said at 3 o'clock in the morning he wanted me to run for Senate and that kind of thing. But United States Senate. But anyway, I said, Larry, what you got to do to get elected? He said, Joe, you got to have two or three things. You got to have money, organization, or the candidate. You got to have two of those. Well, you're obviously a good candidate. You can bring in the money and organization, you can, good people will come. Just like with David Perdue, when I had breakfast with him down, pretty long while ago, I said, boy, I'm going to get involved in this campaign. And man, it's been fun. I wore the Perdue sticker for the last 3 months. Everywhere I go, I'd wear the Perdue sticker. People come up to me and say, Joe, tell me about it. And that's what I did with Romney. See, that's one reason I got to be number one, because you think about it. How many people do you know that wear stickers? Very few,
not
right?
A whole lot at all. Yeah, very few.
Well, see, I'd wear the Romney sticker everywhere I went. I'd wear, whoever I'm for, I'll wear their sticker. And so people come up to me, even ones that don't know me, say, tell me about David Perdue. Tell me about Mitt Romney. Tell me about Tom Graves. I was his campaign manager. And Tom Graves has a real good story. Tom's a big university. I don't know if you know this or not, but he's a University of Georgia graduate, majoring in finance. He grew up in a trailer park, did not come from a wealthy family, but I saw in him a future star. And so I encouraged him to run for Congress. He didn't run just because of me, but I was his chair. And, boy, he got elected. And he's, if you'll notice in the picture, he traveled with Perdue. And so Graves is somebody that you need to keep your eye on because I've got his number, too, if you want to. I've got his cell phone. But anyway, it's just amazing how far you can go. See, you've got a great advantage. Well, you mentioned the name Aaron McCready. What I want to do, my goal for you is just when I mention Aaron McCready, people say, oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about him. He's really good. And then all of a sudden, people talk about you like they did with me with Romney or Perdue or anybody, because there's so few people that really, like in my case, wear a sticker. And in fact, right. I don't know. Do you know anybody personally that did wear a sticker?
No, not at all.
That's what I do to stand out. I mean, I'd wear the Romney sticker, and then I'd call a lot of national shows, like I'd call C-SPAN and say Mitt Romney's great, and of course that went to 77 million homes. I'd get on the Hannity show and talk to them, get on Limbaugh some, and see there's so few people, there's a lot of room at the top because, Aaron, most people are not willing to do what's necessary to get there. And you figure out the best way to get there is to get prominent people like you have on your Facebook, and just tell them what your goals are, and you'll be amazed how many people, like my goal is to take the McCutcheon Project. I want to get on every talk show in America, and then I want to reach out to young people like you and encourage them. See, my gift is to encourage. Joe McCutcheon will always encourage you to be number one, and that's what my gift is. You know, your gift is you have a lot of vision, and you need to find out what your gift is. You know, you study and read the book by Steve Harvey, and it tells you think like success, act like success. And the book is about finding your gift. You're very gifted. I don't know what would you call your gift, if you had to say.
I don't know. I can be a stubborn loudmouth, probably. That's probably it. A stubborn loudmouth.
That's how you get. Name recognition is the whole thing. See, I have a lot of people coming up to me and say, Joe, I heard you on C-SPAN, I heard you on Larry King, I heard you on Limbaugh. Name recognition, and they call me, my name was Joe from LJ. Are you the Joe from LJ? Yes, I am. Well, I've done this for 20 years, and so a lot of people know who I am. But that's what you need. And see, you're getting that. See, Aaron McCready, we want you to become a household word where you mentioned Aaron McCready. Oh, yeah, he's a talk show host. I want to listen to his show. And you sort of make it happen. But you tell the people, you get close friends and tell them, say, look, here's my goal. I want to be nationally syndicated in 5 years. Well, you may not get it in 5 years, but 7's okay, isn't it?
Well, sure. But, hey, let me ask you a question real quick. You know,
sure.
The people's talking about Johnny Isaacson, people outside Georgia, the other senator from Georgia, and he may be retiring, once his term's up. He may not run for reelection. Why don't Joe McCutcheon run for that seat?
No, I tell you what, I just talked to Tom Graves about that. I told Tom, I said, have you thought about running for the Senate seat? And, he may, I don't know, he said, a lot of people want Tom to run. Tom's a good-looking guy, smart, University of Georgia graduate, major in finance. Tom's pretty darn sharp, Loudermilk sharp. I want to help people like you. My goal is to encourage and help people reach their goals. I would enjoy it. It would be thrilling to me for me to call in and say, gosh, Aaron, you've got 30 million listeners. You're number one in the country now, and maybe I helped you get there. You know what? That would thrill me. And I'd like to help, Tom Graves get elected. That's what I like to do. I like to help people reach their goals, and that gives me – I don't really want to – I never have one. I was president of the student body at Georgia Tech, and I was president of the student body in high school. But I found that I really enjoy – helping others achieve their goals, and that's like if you become nationally syndicated, I'll say, gosh, I'm so excited. Maybe I helped Aaron get there, right?
Well, sure, yeah. What makes you stay so positive? I mean, especially in this day and time. And...
Well, I've read every positive book, Shuler, Osteen. I read every success book, Henry Ford, Warren. I love the stock market. I've been blessed. I've done well in the stock market. I like the key to success, I think, Aaron, is love what you do. And I love calling your show. I love calling talk shows. I adore that. It's not work. It's fun. And then you've got to be around positive people. If you've got somebody that doesn't like you, they have the right to say, I don't like Aaron McCready. But you also have the right not to go have lunch with them. Be nice to them, but you need to have people around you in your core. Like, I will always be a positive supporter. You talk to me, you're going to hear Joe McCutchen say, hey, Aaron, you're great. I think you're a national. And you need a lot of people. And that's what's blessed me. I've had a lot of people that have believed in Joe McCutchen. And so I just that's the main thing, I think, is to have positive people around you. And I've always had that. I've had a lot of people that, and like calling talk shows, I think I'm, well, they tell me I'm the best, and of course, I think I'm pretty good. And you're very well, good, see? And,
well, you know what,
and
I
that's
think,
the key.
I tell people this all the time, and when they get all worked up and worried about what people think, and I just tell them, I say, just be yourself. Just relax and be yourself, because you know what? God himself can't please everybody. So don't try to please everybody. Just be yourself, and everything will come how, you know.
And you're exactly right, Aaron. That is so important. I mean, look, I'm a conservative. Ronald Reagan's my hero, and Margaret Thatcher. But not everybody agrees with Joe McCutchen. So if they say, you know, Joe McCutchen, I don't agree with him, hey, I would fight for their right to be critical of me or any of that. And I don't worry about that. I say, well, I'm going to stick to my principles. I'm conservative. If somebody doesn't like that, I say, God bless them. I don't get mad at them. You know, I've had some people say, call me an idiot in politics. And that's okay. I mean, I would never do anything to stifle the free speech of anyone to be critical of me. I don't take it to heart. You know what I mean?
Well, if you had somebody call you an idiot, that's pretty good. I've had people call me a lot worse.
I think that's something you got to be able to take criticism. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of somebody call me up sometimes and say, Joe, I can't believe I got some criticism for backing Andrew Hunt. But I thought he was the best friend of the taxpayer, and I think Andrew's a good man, and I was happy to be for him, but I wasn't against Nathan Deal personally. I was just for Andrew Hunt. And
right.
So I think you have to make those decisions, and, you know, it's just like I can tell you're an enthusiastic Georgia Bulldog supporter. I'm an enthusiastic Georgia Tech supporter, but I admire you for being such a fired-up Georgia supporter, and one of my best friends here in LJ, the Subway King, is probably the number one Georgia supporter, and one of the tops in the country. And I gave you his number off of air. He told me he'd be on your show. You'd really like him. We got a guy coming up from Georgia, a young guy named Andrew Lundstrom, and he's a graduate of Georgia, really outstanding guy. He's got a business venture, and we're going to listen to him and try to give him some good ideas. But see, I love to help young people, and I like to encourage you and anybody I can encourage. That's what my mission in life is to encourage you to reach out and be the best person you can be. And failure is part of, you know, I mean, like Churchill was considered a dunce by some people. Reagan got beat when he ran against Ford in 1976. You know that.
Babe Ruth, when he was in baseball, he everybody knows him for home runs, but also when he was in baseball, he led the league in strikeouts too.
Well, see, Aaron, you know those things, and that's why I think you're going to be a superstar, because you're 36, but you're really about 66 in terms of your vision, your maturity, your drive, your goals. And I can tell, there's one thing you can tell about anybody. I've interviewed a lot of successful people. I've had a radio and television show 25 years, and here's what most of them are. They really have a lot of energy. They have the drive. They have great goals. And I can tell that you have a lot of drive, and then you have the attitude, nobody's going to stop me, right? I mean, nobody's going to. You know, they may knock you down, but you're going to get back up, right?
Well, the only thing that hurts people is themselves, is because they don't, you know, they don't pick themselves up and keep moving forward. You're always going to get knocked down, but it's how you react to that is what makes somebody great.
Well, see, you're 36, but you're already given some what you just said. Some people never learn until they go to the grave, and that's true in life. you get knocked down, you get back up, and it's like political candidates. I've been for a lot of winners. I've been for some losers. When I lose, I just get ready to get behind. If Ted Cruz runs for president, I'll probably be a strong backer of Ted Cruz. But if Ted Cruz runs, well, like Romney, I worked. You know, I was putting in long days for him, and he got beat. Well, a lot of people called my wife Betty and said, "Oh, is Joe depressed?" And I thought, no, I was getting ready for the next election cycle. I don't allow myself. It's like, hey, when Georgia Tech loses the football game, I allow myself 1 hour to say that was bad. Then I move on and get ready for the next game against, in this case, we're playing North Carolina State. Y'all are playing Kentucky. But what good does it do me if you call me up after Tech lost the game and said, boy, Joe, are you in bad shape? No, I'd say I'm looking forward to the next game, Aaron.
Well, next time Tech loses,
every year, if I did, I don't have time to get depressed about Georgia beating Tech, do I?
Well, no. Well, you know, hey, next time Tech loses, I'm going to give you a call an hour later, and I said, okay, time's up.
Well, I wish you would, because that's my rule. Is I give myself an hour to, you know, if we lose a game, particularly a close one, I say, okay, I'm going to think about it for an hour, then I'm going to dismiss it, and because you know something, Aaron. I love Georgia Tech with a passion. My daddy started taking me to games when I was 3 years old. But I don't coach at Georgia Tech, and I don't play for Georgia Tech. When Georgia Tech wins, it's not my fault. Or when they lose, I'm going to enjoy the wins, and I'm not going to get – I don't coach and I don't play, so why shouldn't I get that upset, right?
Well, that's right. Hey, we only got a minute left, so I want to ask you something. When are we going to go eat barbecue in LJ?
Okay, we'll go to Oscar Pooh's and – listen, come up and have lunch with me, and then we'd love to have you bring the show up to Oscars. When we'll do that sometime, and I still do television specials, and I can interview. We go to our network goes to about 16,000 in five counties, so we can get you some good exposure on that. So you know, check your schedule and let me know when's a good time for you, and I'll check with the television station. We'll eat lunch and at Oscars, and then go to Oscars open Thursday, Friday, and well, we can't do it Saturday and Sunday because television station doesn't do interviews on that, but any Thursday and Friday, you might just check your schedule and we'll go to Oscars. And now you don't have to bring your radio show. You can wait. But whatever you want to do on that, you don't have to do that. You can do that later. So whatever you want to do, just let me know and we'll get together. Okay.
Well, I guess I'll talk to you. We'll make plans for that, and I guess I'll call you and talk to you about it about an hour after Tech plays next.
Well, you're great. I love your show, and anyway, you can tell anybody, Joe McCutchen is a very strong supporter of the Aaron McCready Show, and I want to see you nationally syndicated, okay?
Well, hey, and I'm a very strong supporter of the McCutchen Project, so keep it up and stay out there, and you're welcome back on the show anytime.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, bye-bye. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joe McCutchen, a very strong supporter of the show, very enthusiastic, as you can tell. And he has the McCutchen Project, a goal to not reelect these career politicians unless you're absolutely sure that they're going to do what's best for you, be fiscally responsible, not continue to want taxes. You know, so I really appreciate him. And what he does, and what he does for people off the air, and just hundreds and thousands of people, probably more than that, that he helps. But in honor of him, and also for him staying so positive, and then also in honor of the Republicans finally taking the Senate back, and also we maintain control of the House of Representatives. So in Congress, both houses, the Republicans are in control. We're going to do this one time. We've done it before, but we're going to play Happy Days and then go straight to news. We'll be right back.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums. Ready to race to you. These days are happy days. These days are share them with me. Goodbye, gray sky. Can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long. Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday,
Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. They'll be having lunch tomorrow at the White House, President Obama and congressional leaders. Their first meeting since Tuesday's election assured Republicans of controlling the Capitol.
Expect next year's Republican-controlled Congress to again move to repeal or at least do away with parts of the Affordable Care Act.
How about the individual mandate? There are a lot of Democrats and Republicans who believe this is unfair.
House Speaker John Boehner also telling reporters here next year's to-do list includes authorizing the Keystone Pipeline and could include immigration reform so long as President Obama doesn't go around Congress first. Any executive order, Boehner says, would poison the well and leave the president burned.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern at the Capitol. Opponents of gay marriage claiming a federal court victory this afternoon.
Bans or restrictions in four states, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Tennessee, upheld at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati. A three-judge panel ruling 2-1 that states do have the right to set rules for marriage. Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear appeals of overturned gay marriage bans. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg recently suggesting that was because of lack of division in the appellate courts. They're divided now.
Fox News Radio's Lisa Brady. A senior defense official confirms to Fox News the death of a bomb maker from France who had been working with an al-Qaeda group in Syria. David Drujan was killed last night in a U.S. air attack on Khorasan targets. With a lame duck session of Congress ending the year, President Obama is expected soon to tell the Senate who he would like to be the next attorney general.
Somebody who deserves close examination by the Senate, but also prompt confirmation in bipartisan fashion by the Senate.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest, Eric Holder is stepping down just as soon as his successor is confirmed by the Senate. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Weekdays on Fox Business.
Bottom line here is we want investors to be prepared for the day ahead, the week ahead.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo.
The concept is to bring perspective, analysis. All day long, I'm speaking with global allocators of capital, CEOs, heads of state, so I can anticipate some of the major moves or reactions, giving investors an edge.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo. Weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox Business.
Weeknights, Kelly brings the heat.
Developing tonight, a Kelly File exclusive. This is breaking news. We're just getting this.
Inside today's most explosive stories.
That's not the way it was supposed to go down.
Getting answers and challenging the status quo.
There is a back and forth. I'm not just going to give you the platform for a soliloquy. Don't come on here and spit. I will leave that to you to decide.
Powerful, insightful, fair, and balanced. Megyn Kelly taking prime time to the next degree.
Join me for the Kelly File, weeknights at 9.
He is a man who suffered from an infection that made him a quadriplegic 14 years ago. Now, Sean Petrosino is a person of interest in the killing of his mother and father, with whom he had been living in Central Florida.
We're hearing that he recently separated from his wife. They'd moved up to Atlanta about a year ago, according to the timeline he had posted on Facebook, and we're told just within the last week that they had separated, that he took the family dog and moved back in with his parents. Our newspaper partner from the Orlando Sentinel have talked to his mother-in-law, who confirmed all of that information, and at this point in time, neighbors say that they've seen him around the neighborhood a little bit, but hadn't noticed anything too out of character for him.
Holly Bristow of Fox 35 in Orlando. A former American Marine just freed after spending 7 months as a Mexican prisoner says he never tried to hide the fact that he was driving around with guns. Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi remembers what he told Mexican border guards after he crossed over from California.
I have 3 guns. I told them that immediately. I told them I didn't want to be in Mexico. I wanted to be in America, and I wanted to do a U-turn. And I couldn't, there was no way to do it.
Tamarisi also telling Fox's Greta Van Susteren he was beaten in prison. He denied charges he was trying to smuggle weapons. There's a flu medicine that may not be working as well as doctors had hoped.
Preliminary study results finding AstraZeneca's flu mist had little or no effect against swine flu in young kids. That was the most common version of the flu last year. Why it didn't work is not clear. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying it's possible it won't work again this season. Though the flu season is just getting started, early tracking suggests swine flu won't be as big of a problem this year. Other strains expected to be a major threat, and the drug maker says the vaccine will work against those. Lisa Lucera, Fox News Radio.
The Dow gained 70 points, reaching another record high close. Same goes for the S&P, which went up 8. The NASDAQ up 18. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's great to have you with us. We just had Joe McCutchen on the first half of the show, and he was fired up. You've seen him on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he was Romney's biggest supporter on there. And he is just a great guy. He loves to encourage people. He loves to do a lot of behind-the-scenes work. And we became a pretty good friend, so I appreciate him being on the show today and everything he does to try to move forward the conservative agenda. And he does have the McCutchen Project, which is a project to not vote for career politicians, because over time, we all know career politicians, they don't have our best interest at heart. And so we need the new blood in there, someone like David Perdue, who just won the United States Senate here in Georgia. But, you know, one thing that I want to play for you, and this is about a minute and a half long or so, but, you know, those of you out there who you know, wonder what the Republicans stand for, why the Republicans won control of the Senate and maintained control of the House of Representatives. You know, people, and we talked about this with Joe earlier, you know, true leaders don't seek out leadership. They don't seek it out. It actually comes to them, and they're called to do it. This is going to let you know a little bit of what the Republicans stand for and what the Republicans are going to do for you and me, the citizens of this country, in this new session of Congress, that, you know, now we control the House and the Senate. Take a listen.
Each of us was fortunate that we had a chance to realize our potential, and our work isn't finished until we pass the same chance on to our kids and theirs. And I've got some ideas about how to do that. In my view, America's energy boom presents a once-in-a-generation opportunity. So we can do this the Washington way, we can move some dirt around and we can see what happens, or we can lay a solid foundation for economic growth and mobility. And there are five things that I think need to happen in order to bring this about. The first is fix our tax code, corporate side and personal side. And bring down the rates for every American, clear out the loopholes, allow people to do taxes on two sheets of paper. Secondly, we've got to solve our spending problem. For 53 of the last 60 years, we've spent more than what we've brought in. Would you do this in your own home? Well, guess what? We can't do it as a country either. Thirdly, we got to reform our legal system. You know, we let anybody in America sue anybody any day for any damn reason they want. And we all pay for it in everything that we buy. There's got to be a better way. Fourthly, our regulatory system. The way the federal government hands down regulations, it's coercive, combative, and frankly, is very expensive. It's the last thing that Main Street needs right now. The fifth issue is real simple. We've got to find a way to educate more of America's kids. We all know we're going to have a growing economy. We're going to need workers. And we can't have workers who don't get the basics of a decent education in America. If we were to do these five things in a meaningful way, along with this coming energy boom, you can reset the economic foundation in America for the next two or three generations and beyond. We're not just obligated to lead. We're called to lead.
That was Speaker of the House John Boehner, and he listed five things that he wants to implement to make America great for generations and generations. And we only have a few minutes left of the program, actually. We only have about 6 minutes left, really coming up on 5 minutes. But the five things he listed, and I really wanted to get to those today, but we went over with Joe McCutchen, and that was fine because I was really enjoying the conversation. But is fix the tax code, solve our spending problems, reform the legal system, the regulatory system, improve the education system in America. And one thing that he said that I've repeated time and time again is true leaders are not obligated to lead, they're called to lead. And I think we're finally going to see, hopefully, and we'll see you know, coming up this coming year, if the gridlock in Washington is going to end or if there's going to be a battle, and there probably is a battle between the president and both houses of Congress. They're already talking about immigration reform. The president already is talking about issuing an executive order. The Speaker of the House has also said that, hey, if you do this, you're going to get your fingers burned. You're going to get burned. And he strongly suggests the president work through Congress and not through executive orders. We don't have a king up there. We all have to work together. And the House of Representatives, who John Boehner is really in charge of, since he's the Speaker of the House, the House holds the purse strings. They vote for the, you know, who's going to get what money. And so, you know, if the president wants to issue an executive order, he's going to have the money to carry that out. And the Republican Congress, my goodness, can also make sure that they don't get that money. So the president's got to be very careful with this. And the president really needs to work closely with both houses of Congress. And as you heard in the news, the president's meeting with John Boehner and tomorrow. And then also Mitch McConnell, the new Senate Majority Leader, when the new session starts. So hopefully that's a good sign of things to come. And you know, the president, though, has also previously, when John Boehner was Speaker of the House, or first became Speaker of the House, and had some Republicans up there, said, you know, it's pretty much, and he didn't say this way, but my way or the highway. So if the president says it this time, you know, it... You've got a Republican House and a Republican Senate. The president is going to have to work with both houses of Congress if he wants to get his agenda through and not, you know, not be a lame duck president because he's not running for office anymore. And, yeah, he's got a lot of catching up to do if he wants to be considered one of the great presidents. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, like he said, John Boehner, fix the tax code, solve the spending problem, reform the legal system, work on the regulatory system for businesses, improve the educational system. Those are the five things that he's going to focus on as Speaker of the House. And so we really need to pay attention, you know, coming forward. But, you know, the election's over. We can put that behind us and work on fixing America's problems. Whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat, you know, it's all about America. And we need to make sure that we're working together for the common good of the American people. I mean, after all, at the end of the day, we're Americans. Look at 9/11. When we got attacked, we weren't Republican. We weren't Democratic. We were Americans standing together as one. And it's kind of like family members. If you have somebody pick on a family member, you know, you may argue and fuss and fight with these family members. But my goodness, when somebody picks on that family member, you come together instantly and you take up for each other. Well, that's like the American people. We may disagree. We may think we have better ways, but we still want what's best for the country. And we need to keep that in mind and keep our eye on the ball and work together every single day. Yes, we're going to have arguments. Yes, we're going to have harsh things to say to one another, but we're still Americans. Still American. And it's going to work out fine. We haven't seen, you know, the best days of America aren't behind us. They're in the future, and we're going to make sure we get there. My special thanks to Joe McCutcheon for coming on. You saw him on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he's got the McCutcheon Project, a project and a mission to not vote for career politicians. Make sure you listen to C-SPAN. Make sure you listen to all the other talk shows. You know, you'll hear him on there. And also, my thanks to him for sharing the McCutcheon Project with our show. We're the first show that he shared that with out of all the shows that he goes on. So my thanks to Joe McCutcheon. Please listen in next week for a new round of shows. God bless and good night.
Brady.